South Dakota needs more lawyers. Now a new program aims to place them where they're needed most. If law school graduates want to practice in South Dakota, they typically have to pass an exam for admission into the South Dakota State Bar Association. But a program from the USD Knutson School of Law is piloting an alternative path. The Public Service Pathways Program helps match students with agencies across the state, often where the need for new lawyers is highest. Professor Tamara Nash and third-year law student Carly Veer stepped into the SDPB studios in Vermilion for this conversation. We'll start here with Professor Nash.
We have a brand new program at the law school, our Public Service Pathway Bar Admission Program. It's a pilot program, and we just finished our first year of the program. And essentially what the program does is when students meet certain conditions or requirements, and I'll go through those, it allows them to apply for and be admitted to the practice of law here in South Dakota without having to sit for the traditional bar exam, the big scary bar exam that often so many folks hear so much about. So it provides kind of an alternative pathway to licensure here in South Dakota. So the primary components to it is that qualifying students can apply to participate during their third and final year of law school during the fall semester. And those students who are accepted and admitted to participate in the program then are placed at certain qualifying host entities that are public service entities, like our state's attorney's offices, our public defender's offices in our various communities. And they're required to work a minimum of 500 hours during that fall semester, where they get one-on-one mentorship and guidance, and they're getting a variety of robust experiences and opportunities to practice, of course, under supervision of supervising attorneys. Another component is that they have to meet several conditions of the South Dakota Board of Bar Examiners, including completing and submitting work portfolio requirements that are evaluated by the board, also tracking their daily time and their court appearances. They also have to satisfy their character and fitness review and evaluation. Another component is they take a law school class, one that I actually teach. And they also still are required to apply for and be admitted to the bar here in South Dakota. And they have to provide a commitment to complete 2 years, at least 2 years of public service here in the state of South Dakota at a state or federal public service entity, for example, like public defender's offices or state attorney's offices or certain legal aid offices. That commitment must be satisfied generally within 3 years of graduation. Yeah. So if all of those primary buckets and requirements are completed, students are provided that alternative path or route to be licensed to practice here in the state of South Dakota.
Was there, Professor Nash, a need? It seems like I can think of several needs that would have intersected that led to the development of this program.
Absolutely. This, as you noted, was a response to, one, a long-term conversation and dialogue around our needs here in South Dakota as a community, but also mirroring a long-term dialogue that's really been happening nationally. And so this kind of long-term conversation and collaborative dialogue was built around finding a program that could meaningfully serve the needs of our South Dakota community, our legal community, but also looking to encourage and find meaningful ways to encourage folks to consider and pursue careers in public service, but also to fill our access to justice gaps that we have here in our South Dakota community. So those are, you know, two of the primary needs or conversations that have really been tethered along with this program. And then, of course, always looking to bolster and encourage that we are rallying around our law students and providing them the highest quality legal education and mentorship and support that we can as we prepare them for ethical and competent practice as future lawyers.
So, Carly Veer, tell me a little bit about where you're from, first of all, and what drew you into this particular pathway, especially because it's a pilot program and you knew you'd be one of the first people in South Dakota navigating it.
Yeah, so I am from Rapid City. I grew up in South Dakota, love South Dakota. I left for my undergraduate degree. I went to Arizona State and then decided that I wanted to come back to South Dakota for law school. And now I plan to be here long term. As far as the program, it's kind of funny because it was scary at first, right? Like being the first group to do something and knowing that there's going to be so many unknowns. I remember Dean Fulton hosted a little meeting when this first kind of got brought up at the law school that it was going to officially happen, and that was last spring. And I asked probably 50 questions during that meeting, and he answered every single one of them to the best of his abilities. But yeah, it was scary because this is something that, you know, can impact your career so much. Yeah. But after learning more during the meetings, I just decided that the experience felt like that is something that's irreplaceable. And for me, it was less of having a different path to the bar exam and more of knowing that I was going to gain that experience earlier on. Yeah. And so that's really what intrigued me about it. And it genuinely blew away my expectations.
Yeah. All right. So tell me a little bit about, I'm going to go back to Professor Nash for a minute and then ask Carly what your real life experience was. But Tamara, you have to, that one-on-one time, that mentorship, you have to make sure that the people who are doing that work, the practicing lawyers, are ready and capable to engage in that practice. How do you prepare them to help a student like Carly coming through? And then we'll ask her what her experience has been like with some of that one-on-one guidance.
Absolutely. It's, I think, mentorship and support and guidance is critical for any new professional, frankly, any professional at any stage in their career, but most certainly true for this program, especially in year one. Coming around to building out this program and what we thought it needed to look like and could look like, we really had intentional conversations around what offices are best suited to, you know, build out the structure of diversity of experiences, diversity of approaches and mentorship, and who and where students would be most likely to succeed and thrive with that mentorship. Mm-hmm. So we really sought out, you know, talking with and asking our host entities that were offices that had a wide range of folks who were at all different stages of career, but had seen and done it all. Mm-hmm. We were fortunate that we had a deep bench of students who were interested. We had 13 applicants. Our cohort is limited to 10. We ultimately accepted and placed 9 students in 5 different offices throughout the state, and we had phenomenal partners to work with. We worked with the Minnehaha County Public Defender's Office, Minnehaha County State's Attorney's Office, the Pennington County State's Attorney's Office, Brown County State's Attorney's Office, and Federal Public Defender's Office. And when you look at the rich range of experience and mentorship that each of those offices offer, it really was a no-brainer by way of engaging in dialogue around what type of experiences the offices could provide students, as well as how invested each of the offices down from, you know, the top supervisors to the day-to-day line attorneys. They were all in as far as building the experience to the best benefit of the student, providing mentorship and guidance, and just rallying behind the students with encouragement and kudos. I think we can all remember or imagine how terrifying the first days and weeks and months in a new job, especially a professional job, can be. And these offices really did everything they could to meet the requirements of the program, but also rally behind the students to make sure they had what they needed, they were supported, and they were getting a range of experiences. And our students, you'll probably ask Carly, really saw and did so much. And I'm so incredibly proud of how invested and passionate they are and have become in being lawyers and also being public servants. So it's been really cool to watch, and we couldn't have done it without the commitment and the investment of our host entities who really rallied behind mentorship and teaching.
Yeah. So Carly, one of the key experiences that you have had is delivering the opening statement in a high profile murder trial. Tell me what that experience was like for you.
Yeah, that is the most rewarding experience I've ever had in my life to date. But as far as kind of how that came about, at the beginning of Pathways, I was in the program and at Pennington County State's Attorney's Office with another student, Thomas Potts, and we were both told that we could be assigned to a murder trial throughout our time there. And so I got assigned to the Ezekiel Mayweather trial and started kind of working on that throughout the earlier months. And then as it was approaching and getting closer, Chief Deputy State's Attorney Gina Nelson and I were sitting in a room and just talking about the case and stuff. And she was like, I think that I'm going to have you give the opening statement. And I laughed because I was like, how are you sure? Like, I thought she was kidding. And she wasn't kidding. And she told me, she was like, I believe in you. I know that you can do this. You've proven yourself up until this point. And so she really gave me the confidence that I would be able to do that. And so started prepping for it. The entire trial prep process was a lot, and I started to feel a little more comfortable. I was like, you know what, I can do this. Professor Nash was a huge person in that, and State's Attorney Laura Retzel was a huge person in that, just showing me that I can do it. And so I walked into the room that morning that I was gonna give the opening statement, and I was a bit shocked because the courtroom was packed full, and that was something that I had never experienced before. That wasn't the first trial I had done, but definitely the first trial of that magnitude. And I remember panicking a little bit, but I didn't want anyone to know that I was panicking and have them be scared that I wasn't gonna be able to do it or something. So I kept telling myself in my head, I'm like, they wouldn't have you be doing this if you couldn't do it. They know that you can do it. They believe in you. You've prepared. You're ready for this. And I just kept thinking about Esther Wolf, who was the victim in that case, and her entire family was sitting in the courtroom. And just thinking about the fact that I felt so lucky to be able to be the person that was there that day, giving the opening statement. And so that's really what I used to kind of power me through. And I remember at one point I was standing at the podium and I shifted my weight onto one leg and I felt my leg start shaking. And so I shifted my weight back to both legs. I'm like, okay, we might still be a little bit nervous, but I did it. And that was a really pivotal moment in my career for me, because conquering something that was so scary and so nerve-wracking, now I'm like, okay, if I did that, I can do a lot of things. And so, yeah, just having the experiences like that in Pathways, it gives you the confidence to move forward in your career. And you're, of course, going to still have plenty of things to learn. But just knowing that you do have the skills and you do have the knowledge to get up there and do it.
Yeah. Professor Nash, how significant is that first trial experience in a high-profile case with a packed courtroom? For a young lawyer to go through that in this way, what's the significance of this moment in Carly's career from your experience?
Absolutely. I think it's huge. I am, one, exceptionally proud of Carly as well as our other eight students. They have been bright stars through a new and foreign process, and they have exceeded expectations, and really they have been stars throughout. Being able to, you know, face your fears, face your self-critic, to face the doubt, and walk into that courtroom and own kind of the demand that is presented to you, whatever side you're on, prosecution or defense, and to be the contributor in our criminal justice system to pursue justice on behalf of whomever your client is, the people or the defendant sitting there, and to, you know, walk in that confidence of I can figure this out, to feel the fear and do it anyway, is huge, and I think quite literally can change the course of your career. I say that as having been a prosecutor at the county, state, and federal level. At times, the fear and the doubt and the worry of, am I doing it right? Is this the right choice? Can be consuming and can be terrifying. And there are people sometimes who they don't meet the occasion. And then there are students like Carly and like our other eight students who dig in and stay rooted in the skills and the mentorship and the guidance that they've been given, and trust that those supervisors, the law school, you know, the community that's rallied behind them would not ask them to do something they did not believe wholeheartedly they couldn't do. And they hook on to that glimmer of hope and belief in themselves, and they rise to the occasion and they knock it out the park. So it's huge, and it's awesome to watch folks find that confidence and carry it with them through these first few months, but also through their career. And I'm so eager and so excited to see how each of them will contribute to the profession and to our South Dakota community for years to come.
Professor, what are you learning about the pilot program? I mean, we've talked about that certainly, but as far as the desire for it to keep going, what have the entities who have participated said about it? What has Dean Fulton said? Does it feel like it will come back for another year?
As all new programs, we're building and growing, and I think we have opportunities to continue to improve and to continue to refine the process so it serves our community and our students and our host entities as best as possible. But overwhelmingly, I think the experience from our students has been positive. It has been so cool to hear their confidence and their, you know, excitement for the future grow through this semester, and our host entities have been overwhelmingly happy with the students, their performance, their passion, their dedication, and so that has been wonderfully positive. We are looking to host another town hall, similar to the one that Carly mentioned, where she had all the questions, later this month to speak with the next cohort about what the program is and to see who may be interested and to ramp up applications for a second class of students. And we'll take it as it comes from there, but we're absolutely excited to build our second iteration of the five-year pilot, improve as we can, and see what future host entities we can work with and how we can grow. And I think I'm safe in committing to Dean Fulton's maybe commentary, and that we're incredibly proud of our students, incredibly proud of our legal community and how it's rallied around these students, but also worked to build such a wonderful program, and excited to see how it can continue to grow and continue to serve and meet the needs of South Dakota's community needs, but also build and galvanize excitement to serve in the public service space.
Yeah. Carly, two questions. One, what is next for you as you move on to the next phase of your legal career here in South Dakota? And two, what kind of advice would you give to members of that next cohort that you learned this year that would have also been useful to know going into this? So tell us what's next for you first.
Yeah, so I am extremely excited to say that I will be returning back to the Pennington County State's Attorney's Office in early June, and I will be a deputy state's attorney there. Super, super excited to go back to that office. It was such an incredible fit for me, and everybody there was so supportive throughout this process that I'm going back knowing that I'm going to continue having that support, and that's just that's extremely comforting going into graduation. As far as advice for the next cohort, I think just really take in everything that you get from this, because this is such a unique experience, and there's going to be times where it's really hard. You're really busy. There's a lot of things thrown at you, and you're gonna make mistakes, and that's okay. That was something that at the beginning I really struggled with. I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and if I accidentally said something a little wrong in court or accidentally did this or that, I would kind of internally panic. And thankfully I had great mentors at the Pennington County State's Attorney's Office who helped me work through that. But if you make a mistake, it's not the end of the world. It's okay. You're new at this, and just be thankful that you're having the opportunity to kind of flush out a lot of those mistakes early on while you're still a student, and then you can hit the ground running when you start as an actual licensed attorney. So I guess that would just be my biggest advice. And then, of course, just believe in yourself. I think that was a huge thing throughout my experience. I struggled with that at first. We always talk about imposter syndrome in law school, and that the whole experience really just helped me kind of get over that imposter syndrome.
Yeah. Professor Nash, when you're teaching that class with the cohort, that must come up a lot of, you know, navigating these, the emotional experience, like the physical embodied experience of stress in a courtroom, and how to process that, admitting to your mentors and your trusted advisors that you feel out of your depth, at least momentarily, and helping for their guidance to sort of get the work in to make sure that you're doing the right thing. What else are some of the things that come up in those, you know, classroom conversations that you're trying to teach these students, these young future lawyers, about how to do this really complicated job?
Yeah, absolutely it does. I think some of the other conversations that came up in pieces of dialogue that we tried to talk about were authenticity of, you know, even in the midst and chaos of meeting and, you know, observing the expectations around you, still finding and defining your professional identity and self and remaining true to that and tethered to your values. Wellness and balance of that, especially as, you know, a new lawyer or a law student practicing under supervision, there are times where it's just going to take you longer to learn how to do things and become effective. And so it becomes really difficult to know when to walk away and when is good enough, because perfection often is just not on the table. So finding that balance of how to take care of yourself, how to keep a safe distance and not internalize the really hard and difficult things that these students and folks in public service see every day due to just the heartbreak and nature of criminal litigation. And then also just the dialogue and discussion around finding and identifying, you know, how you communicate, how you internalize and hear conversations, and how you work collaboratively in a team, and just kind of putting all those things together and how you show up and work as a young professional in a group dynamic, especially when often you're not maybe a decision maker, or maybe you are, but that still fits in a broader context of an office of several other attorneys. So those were other pieces of the conversation. And then also just trusting yourself and going with your gut, even when you may never land on that, you know, going to bed at night, laying your head on the pillow and thinking, man, I nailed it today. There may always be that level of doubt, but knowing to trust yourself to a certain extent, to leave it, walk away, and feel confident with what you did.
Tamara Nash is a professor at the USD Knudsen School of Law. Carly Veer is a third-year law student. We've been talking about the Public Service Pathways Program at the USD Knudsen School of Law. That's in Vermilion. And that's our conversation for today. We hope that it served you. Remember, if you're interested in all our conversations, you can also subscribe to our Dakota Political Junkies podcast or SDPB's Teacher Talk. One focuses on state politics, the other focuses on education. And as always, you can download, like, share, and comment on the In the Moment podcast on your favorite podcast platform. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.